Blog Talk Radio.
Am Yisrael Heim Aminim, B'nei Aminim. I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, is omnipresent and ever-guiding. I believe with complete faith that Hashem is one. I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, is non-corporeal and is not describable. I believe with complete faith that the Holy One, blessed be His name, is the beginning and the ultimate. I believe with complete faith that to Hashem alone is it fitting to pray. I believe with complete faith that all the words of the prophets are absolutely true. I believe with complete faith that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophetic vision was absolutely true, and he was the father of all the prophets. I believe with complete faith that the entire Torah was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem. I believe with complete faith that this Torah will never be changed. I believe with complete faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, knows every thought of man. I believe with complete faith that Hashem, blessed be His name, punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous. I believe with complete faith in the coming of Mashiach. I believe with complete faith that there will be a revival of the dead.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings, blessed souls. After hearing the 13 attributes or fundamental points of faith of the nation of Israel, which seems so fitting to hear, the number 13 in the month of mercy is Chodesh Elul. Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're meant to stay alive in Torah Chaim, Chokas of Life, Torah Chesed, Chokas of Kindness, Torah Rachim, Chokas of Mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we are the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This happens to be Soul Class number 706, Meet Torah Activist Tzvi Tabakman. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience at 7.6 billion plus human beings. They shouldn't be anointed and never be disappointed. No, they've been anointed with the Tzelem Elohim divine dream, the divine image, I should say. With Creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on September 6th. It's 9:32 a.m. live from Turtle Island, aka USA equals Unified Soul Actualization. Today's program content will focus on being in discussion with fellow Torah activist Tzvi Tabakman from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, about his passion to share Torah teachings with youthful souls of all ages, his love of the teachings of the Ramchal, Rav Chaim Luzuto, an 18th century Torah scholar, and his perspectives on Torah activism for 5779, a year that should be sweeter than wine and beyond. Our call in number, if you want to try to chime in, is 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Children of Israel and Children of Noah, collaborating to eliminate hatred, jealousy, and competition not needed upon the face of this blessed earth. Torah activist Tzvi Tabakman, Ramchal, Rav Chaim Luzuto, Way of Hashem, Chassidus, written in oral Torah traditions of Israel. And we're going to now lower the music for our blessed friend, Rabbi Isaac Paton, the president of Beit Mazal. And without further ado, our younger brother, Jew, Tzvi Tabakman from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Tzvi.
Good morning. How are you this fine morning?
Well, I'm pretty good even after just one cup of coffee. Wait until I have my second one.
Ooh, cup of coffee. That sounds geschmack.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, blessed souls out there, I'd like to explain how I met, not by chance, by Shkacha Protas, Divine Providence, Reb Tzvi Tabakman, an excellent orator, an elucidator of Torah teachings. 2 weeks ago, I went with my son on a father-son retreat within the greater context of me doing some work out in the Poconos for an organization I work with. And I noticed in the itinerary of activities there at this hotel called the Hotel Zeeks that Tzvi Tabakman would be giving classes relating to Rav Chaim Luzuto. I said, this is interesting, because most people in our age, if they like the inner dimensions of Torah, they have a penchant for it, they have a love for it, they go for, say, Chabad Chassidus or Breslov. Some are into the teachings of the Maharal Meprag, but the Ramchal, I've never heard anyone publicly lecture, I mean, face-to-face. I've seen lectures on the internet, but to hear a live lecture and someone who tries to bring it down to the point of taking human beings from pre-contemplation state to contemplation to taking action and maintaining and growing in that new level of awareness, I figured I'll take a chance, and I went to, I think, two or three classes with, and a couple with my son as well, and we both enjoyed them. So I'd like to open up the discussion to see, you know, one of the things that you mentioned at the hotel, Zeke's, was that initially you were kind of turned off because you felt you had to give up when you came into these teachings of the Ramchal. Can you talk about that and how you overcame that and now why you are a disseminator of the teachings of Chaim Lazuto?
So my story with the Ramchal is very long and kind of interesting because I was first introduced to his work when I was 12 or 13 years old. I was sitting in, you know, my yeshivish elementary school, and I was told that, you know, it's time to learn Musar. And we had this rabbi who basically got up and taught us Mitzvot Yesharim. But I felt like every time I sat in the class, basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling me that I was personally a bad person. And that if I wanted to be a good Yid, I'd have to change everything about who I am. So I decided that Mitzvot Yesharim was not for me. The Ramchal is not for me. You know, I'm sure there's lots of other areas of Yiddishkeit that I can connect to. I then continued my career where I went to a non-religious high school, and then I went to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for 3 years, and I stayed away from Mitzvot Yesharim, and it very much came up over and over again. People are like, you know, I'm giving Mitzvot Yesharim class or this or that. I'm like, nah, it's not for me. I was in my last 2 weeks of my 3 years in Eretz Yisrael after high school, and I was like, you know what? I went 3 years in yeshiva, learning Sfarim, learning more books than I could imagine, you know, spending hours in front of a daf. And I never learned Mitzvot Yesharim. And everyone keeps talking about it, so I have to try it. So I try it, and I barely understand a word of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all been there. So I got my sister to buy me a little baby copy for the airplane. And I'm sitting on the airplane, and I'm spending, you know, an hour, 2 hours on just the first chapter, just trying to understand what these words are saying. And then my mind was blown. And then from there, I read it a second time, and commentary on it, and it just blew my mind to realize that the Ramchal wasn't saying anything. He wasn't saying that what you're doing now is bad, right? He starts with the beautiful opening introduction of, I did not come to teach you anything you do not know, but rather remind you what you most certainly do know but may have forgotten. And the idea that we can step up, and that stepping up, if you do it teeny tiny step at a time, which is the way I understand the Ramchal understood the book to be learned, then it really was feasible. And it said nothing about who you were, but about the opportunities that laid in front of you.
You know, Tzvi, you mentioned something. You first interacted with the teacher, what we call it, the tender age of 12, even before your bar mitzvah, and you mentioned you felt it were no good. I mean, that's pretty introspective for a 12-year-old. I mean, I remember at 12 years old, you know, my interest was, could I be a better baseball player? I wasn't even really interested, you know, in the opposite gender because I also had a secular education at the beginning of my life. Was there someone in your life that caused you to be so introspective at such a tender age? Or were there people along the way that you think empowered you eventually to re-embrace and get a totally new perspective on the teachings of the Ramchal?
Well, that's a heavy question.
I'd like to ask that type of questions.
Cutting to the crux of it. So at the young age, I think it was a lot to do with the way the Rebbe taught it. That was why it was so introspective. And also, I don't believe that you can possibly learn the Ramchal without it being introspective.
Right.
And then when I went back to it, there was a rabbi. There's a rabbi in Or Sameach whose name I can't remember right now, who argues that he was makariv'd by the Ramchal. That, like, when he wasn't from, he grabbed the book and he read a chapter every night. And by the end of it, he then became who he is today. So it was like kind of like that was like the last push that was like, you have to actually read this book if you're going to hate it legitimately.
So let me ask you this. The teachings are so deep. And you should know that, and I think I mentioned to you when we were up in Lakewood, Pennsylvania, that the Maggid of Mezrich, who took over after the Baal Shem Tov went to the next level, as we say, the next level of life, was very much a great respecter, and therefore, if he was the second of the, say, the three primordial developers of the Hasidic movement, the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Mezrich, and then the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, there's a teaching that we have in Chabad that if you don't bring it down into action or into emotional attributes, there's a lot that leaves to be, there's a lot to be left in terms of one's proper understanding of a teaching. And I see you're involved in activism, and Rav Chaim Luzuto, Aleichem Shalom, Zchus Yogan Aleinu Meis, Meretz Protect Us, went out into the field, and that's where I met you. I met you out in the fields of Pennsylvania, out in Yehupitzville, some might say. So can you maybe connect the dots for us, Tzvi, how you got from the Ramchal to you're engaged now, and I would consider you to be a fellow and the next generation level of Torah Askan, Torah activist?
So, that's a great question. I don't know how much the two are 100% connected, but okay. It's very clear to me that, first of all, I don't want to speak ill of anybody who sits in Lens and Kollel, because what they're doing is phenomenal and they're keeping the world alive. But right. The idea to sit and just learn the Torah and just keep it to yourself has always been like, well, why am I doing this? Right? If my life, like, in many ways, I am a very hedonistic Jew, right? I look at my own personal needs.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Somehow you broke up a couple times. Okay, continue with your thought.
Oh. I was going to say, so the idea to sit and learn and not put it in action is just, I don't know, but I don't know, building something to just have it sit there and no one use it, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, I personally love education. I don't think education is the only way to put Torah in action. There's a million and a half ways. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, and not everybody has access to that Torah.
Right.
So I don't see how someone can just keep it to themselves.
I'd like to pluck out something from, I believe this is Derech Hashem, from the, Maseilas Yesharim, Path of the Just, from chapter 1, the very first teaching, that there's a, it's interesting, I'll say it in the Hebrew, then we'll translate it out, Yisor HaChassidut HaShoyer Shavod HaTamim Ahu Yitbarer Yitamet Etzal Adam Ma'ako Vatoba Olamo Olamo Tzarech Shiasim Mibato Migamto
That's my favorite part.
If we're going to talk about piety, is Hasidut, meaning what we have to understand, Hasidic movement is not just people with longer payas who eat a groisen piece of kugel on Shabbos or get shrimp from the Rebbe. It is the idea of clarifying and coming to a level of self-realization what they're obligated to do in his or her world. And we have to say, this is not just a male chauvinistic opinion. Men and women, we have an obligation to find out what are we supposed to be doing in the world and by what should we be giving our gaze? Meaning, the Lashon Mabato in the Panimim Torah, Chabad Hasidus and Kabbalah, is a very, very penetrating, cold stare, but reaches into the core of one's soul, and therefore that should arouse the inspiration or aspiration, and that what he or she should toil in all the days of his or her life. And I sense a toiling in your presentation, Tzvi. Can you address that, and that how you don't have to be of any Hasidic group to, at some level, adapt a fundamental Hasidic point, which is way much older, because as you mentioned, the Ramchal Mesutta say, I'm coming to assist you, blessed souls, human beings, Jews, B'nai Noach, to reveal that which is really hidden within yourselves. Can you address that, the idea of you don't have to be part of the classical view in the last 300 years, but it's actually an ancient view of coming to know what your purpose is in the world and know that you can help other people?
So, you ask really great questions.
I'm good at that stuff.
You are. So really the way I see it, right, I always understood it a little bit, I understood the nuance slightly differently. And
okay.
That the idea is we all have our paths. We all have what we have to be doing in life. And if we don't take that individual moment to stop and look at our own individual lives consistently and repeatedly to make sure that we're on the right track, then we're going to fail, whatever the track may be, and whoever the individual may be, right? Because what my MS is may not be the exact same as yours, right? I mean, you started with the beautiful idea of the anima memes, right? The 13 anima memes, and they were beautiful, right? But they don't talk about the individual's actual moment to moment, right? They talk about living an MS Dictator life, which for many people can look very different. Right, whether you are a Hasidic guy who's living in the heart of Meisharim, or you're a Chabadsker living in New York, or just a Pashat Yid in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
Right? The idea that each of us has our own unique way of expressing our Yiddishkeit and expressing our connection. But if we don't understand it, if we don't take that moment to pause, to look on our actions, right? You go through the book, if you continue to go through it, it always has that back and forth. Right, these reasons, the heroes, right? Looking first, you do vigilance, where we look back on our actions, and then we do the alacrity, where we look forward. And then you can go through every three parakim, really, is the flip to the back, to the forward, to the back, to the forward. So I always understood it more as the individual has to know where the individual is going.
Beautiful. I like how you identify alacrity with looking forward. Because alacrity also is associated with purposeful intent, which is taken, which transpires in a very, it can be a very intense fashion, whether for a prolonged period of time or intense bursts. Look, you have the 100-yard dash, you have the relay race, you have the marathon runner, and each one can take a level. A person can adapt at his or her level. That level of alacrity, which is most fitting for their particularized life race to run. And with that being said, being that I encountered you in your passion, your reason for being as a activist to spread teachings of Ramchal, and more importantly, I heard something, a very big Chabad Chassid, Rav Yitzhak Ginsburg, talked about the Minas HaNetzach, the emotional attribute where one is going to go forth and bring out the message and conquer the world, but not by blowing people away, because Netzach and Hod, the two spheros of the ten spheros, the ten divine conduits, are connected with the two kidneys, which are actually involved in grinding down a type of perspective that there can be the flushing away of those aspects of a teaching which could actually turn people away and actually could mislead people and cause a misperception of the truth of the matter, and bring out a pristine teaching like you would grind down an apple into applesauce that a toothless human being could eat, or a tiny little baby before they can chew on solid food. So I'd like to talk about how you are very well versed, and I observed it in, again, two or three classes. Excuse me, I don't remember if it was two or three. Each one was just very engaging. How you break it down to the level of applesauce. And how do you see that, this feeding people spiritual applesauce, which really comes from a hard core and a seed, which no one saw planted in the ground, of your seminal level of superconsciousness from the Koach HaMaskil. Explain how, from where you learned your methodology of breaking it down, that I could sit down, I've been learning Torah for 33 years, and my son who's only 18 could learn it, and individuals who were part of our learning groups could learn it. And you kind of got in the middle point, and you push forward that perspective of alacrity, where people should want to make that jump into the world of alacrity, looking forward to the future and working with it.
So I have to give all the credit to somebody named Rabbi Sheskin, who mm-hmm. currently works with an organization called NCSY. But he taught me how to do that very clearly. by looking at a daf of Gemara, right? Everybody has their strengths. I don't know how many people here have seen a daf of Gemara before. But in the middle, you have the Aramaic text, the text of the Mishnah and the Talmud of the rabbis arguing. It is almost completely uncomprehensible. Side. You have someone named Rashi. Rashi is sitting there, and Rashi's job is to make it so where the Gemara can be comprehended. And then on the other side of the daf, you have Tosfos. Tosfos' job is to show you how this tiny conversation that you're having right now, that Rashi is explaining to you, connects to the wider world of Yiddishkeit, the wider world of the Torah and of Judaism and all the other different sugyas and all the other different conversations that are happening. So when I prepare a class, when I prepare a lecture or even a Shabbaton, right, what I do is I look at the Gemara, right? What's that text I want to teach? Right? I ran a Shabbaton last year where it was a Karate Kid themed Shabbaton, where the text that we wanted to teach was the idea of a Selich HaRav, the idea that nobody can be walking through their life without someone to help guide them, right? Without that mentor, without that Rebbe to be there to help them with their own issues. With everybody's got their problems, everyone's got their challenges. And if you don't have a Rebbe, if you don't have outside eyes, it came Shabbaton with the fundamental message about, you know, in the story of the Karate Kid, he went and he got himself the mentor who taught him karate, and then he wanted to beat up a whole bunch of people. But the idea is that you take the idea of Selich HaRav, or whatever you're wanting to teach, and then you figure out the Rashi. How do I explain this idea to this audience? Right? I mean, when you came in, I had been at Hotel Zeke, as you call it, for about 10 weeks before you, where before your group, we had a non-Jewish group there, and before them, we had a very secular Jewish group. And we had to make sure that when you're teaching things, teaching language that they spoke.
Right.
That's how I like to think of my classes. Before I give a class, if I don't know what the text is and the Rashi, and then obviously the Tosfos for if the class engages or if they want to, like, how do you tangent it out to make everyone aware of the complexity that you described?
Beautiful. So we're actually, it's been a very rapid-paced program today. We're running down to basically the last 7 minutes. In the next 2 or 3 minutes, can you talk about where do you see your work and other individuals like yourself, where do you see things are going as we're on the cusp of a new year, 5779, which I say, may the year 5779 be sweeter than wine. Where do you see your efforts and the efforts of those who you associate with going in order to Yagdol Tov V'Yadir, you know, to magnify the Torah, make it more endearing to human beings, Jews, and the Bnei Noach, which I'm also involved in that aspect of Torah activism. Where do you see things are going for the coming year and beyond?
Honestly, I'm terrified.
Why?
I am truly terrified. I mean, due to the nature of the work I do, I have the opportunity to sit in backdoor meetings with many different Kiruv organizations.
Right.
And in many, many ways, what they're doing is amazing. But the idea that we have to stop, and sometimes like the whole teaching movement becomes a whole thing about numbers, that
right.
The individuals get lost. And I think that really the fact that for the most part, this kind of thing has been left up to institutions is terrifying, because in an ideal world, my job shouldn't exist, right? The idea of going around to groups and teaching, it should be that everybody everywhere is teaching everybody else, because I have met a tremendous number of people in my life from a tremendous number of backgrounds. And every single one of them has something that they can teach that's valuable. Every one of them has even the Tom of MS, right? I mean, whether you are a conservative rabbi, a post-denominational chaz, and a reform song leader. There's a touch of MS there. There's something that is valuable to be taught. And I think it's our job as the community, as the world, you know, you talked about 7 billion plus people. It's our job for all of us to be teaching everybody else what we have,
Amen.
The truths that we've scraped.
Amen. Amen. So yeah, I'd like to thank you very much and wish you and your family how can individuals, blessed souls out there from around the world, we broadcast into 42 states in America and about 45 countries internationally. If you would like to establish dialogue with our blessed listening audience, how can they reach you in a way that it would be mutually comfortable from their side and your side to engage in such discussions?
If someone wants to reach me, they can feel free to send me an email. I'm very good with email.
What is your email, please?
tzvi@ntsy.ca.
Could you repeat that, please?
tzvi@ntsy.ca. I'd be
Beautiful.
More than happy to connect with anybody who would like to.
Beautiful. So I hope that this is the first time, and perhaps this is not the only time you'll be on the program. Hopefully after the program today or later on today, I'd like to speak with you again because I really enjoyed your perspectives. And I agree with you very much that everyone should be teaching. The Sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe once said, if you know Aleph Beis Gimel and no more, then teach Aleph Beis Gimel to another person, and you see Hashem will bless you to teach even more. So that being said, blessed souls, we will just conclude, I think, a very vibrant, short presentation with Torah activist, fellow Torah Askan, Tzvi Tabachman, a part of the fine future of the new generation of Jewish young individuals. I'm sure there's wonderful female Jewish activists out there. I know one of them, actually, she's out in Jerusalem. That's Yafa Bat Ekasi, who's working with the Bnei Anusim. That being said, we're going to wind up with Take Care, My Son, by our brother from England, David Domo. Help us get back home to help us realize and internalize. I've got to be good. Svi's got to be good. We all got to be good because Ateba Tov Lehiti, which is nature good to do good. The Creator, who is the source of all goodness, waits patiently. And how much more so during the month of mercies, Kodesh Elul, right before the new year, 5779, to be sweeter than wine with Hashem's blessings. Take care, my son. Now the program's done. Take care, everyone.
Heaven's sake, never let down.